Welcome to the media ministry of Crossroads Church Aspen. To learn more about Crossroads, visit our website at ccaspen.com. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Steve Woodrow.
One of us needs encouragement, and I hope this morning to bring some clear things to you, some questions to wrestle with, to leave with this week, but also just some great encouragement. And as we start, I'm going to dive in this morning on this idea of purpose, plans, and providence. And first of all, every one of us, I need you to just encourage you as we begin this, but God has a purpose for you. You know, we need to hear that a lot, especially in times of tragedy, especially in times of struggle, especially in times of wilderness and waiting. We need to hear, we need to be encouraged that, you know what, God has a purpose for us. My little life in the big universe, it counts. God created me in His image. He has a purpose for my life, and He has great things for each of you. And I just want to encourage you, God has a purpose for you, that He wants you to walk in, that He wants me to walk in. And this walk of faith is trusting, making that big step of trusting my life to Jesus, right, to lead me into that purpose versus me holding tight, right, and controlling that. But God has a purpose for you. The next question, or a thing I want to encourage you with is not only does God have a purpose for you, but folks, this is amazing, but you know that God desires to be a part of all your plans? You know that His heartbeat, His desire, you're His loved children. He sent His Son, right, to come after us, to die for us. He loves us desperately, and He desires to be involved. He's a loving parent. He desires to be intimately a part of your plans, of your planning in your life. And that's a pretty amazing thing to think about, isn't it? Next thing, just to encourage you with, and this is, goes even bigger. Not only does God desire to be a part of my plans, and folks, get this is important to understand, is that He desires us to bring His plans to Him. It's not sitting right, God, what is Your will? What is Your will for my life? But is to wrestle with, what am I uniquely passionate? What do I desire? Right? Jesus always asks people as He engages them, what do you want? And we're to bring that to Him. And not only does He want to be a part of that, but this is a step further on this journey of faith. This is, to me, absolutely amazing. But you know that God's desire is for you to be a part of His larger global plan. God desires you to be a part of what He is doing. And those two integrate beautifully when we come to Him and we have faith. So the questions I want to leave you with this morning, we're going to dive in. First is this big question. When it comes to purpose, for God to bring about His purpose in our life, do you know that we have to include God in everything? I just ask you that question. Are you including Him in everything? In all of your plans? In everything that you're doing? Are you including Him? And then the next question is, are you in tune with the must-dos in your life? How in tune are you with the clarity? Do you know that God, when we move, and we're going to look at this journey here this morning, but when we move in faith to trust Him in His purpose for our life, we start looking to Him, inviting Him into everything, all areas of our life, is that the clarity of communication gets clearer. And that God, what He does throughout our life in different seasons, is that He impresses us with the must-dos of our life. And the final question is, are you open to interruptions in your life to be used as divine opportunities? What are you doing about the interruptions? It's how God moves mysteriously and powerfully. So let's dive in. James chapter... Luke's good too, but we're going to be in James. Chapter 4, verse 13. And if you're taking notes, I just encourage you to look at Luke 12, the parable of the builders, that will tie in directly to this passage we're getting ready to read here. Now, a little background before we read verse 13, chapter 4 of James. is that the Greek construction here and what he is specifically addressing, James is talking to the church. He's talking to those who, from that video, have said what Peter said. Jesus, you are the Christ. You're the Savior of the world. I confess you. I invite you into my heart, our believers. And he's speaking to the church, but he's specifically here in these verses, 13 through 17, he is specifically speaking to the businessmen and businesswomen in the church. And the word in the Greek he uses is merchants, is those who are putting plans, business plans together to make a profit. These are believers. But that James is writing saying, James doesn't mess around, does he? And he's concerned because business has taken over and it has gotten people to forget about God. It's got them wrapped up in profit making and they haven't included. They've gone about their business, just going after their business plans, and they've forgotten to bring God into it. And this is what he says: Come now. You who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you're a mist that appears a little time and then vanishes. He's not devaluing life there. James is what he's saying to us is to look humbly, right, before God, to look to him for purpose. What he's speaking against here is this very subtle but fleshly human pride that creeps out and says, I'm going to make a name for myself. I'm going to make a life for myself. I'm going to go and get success on my own without God. That is what he's trying to uncover here. He says, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. And so what James is simply saying to the businessmen and women, he says, wake up. I ask you, are you bringing God into your business making? Are you bringing him into your plans? In America today, right, there's just this fragment. We really struggled in this bridge from Sunday to Monday, right? And it's a fragmented faith for so many, right? And Sunday actually is fragmented from Monday. And it ought to be a holistic faith, a whole faith. Sunday should feed your Monday. Sunday should, right, bring inspiration for Monday as we invite God into our purposes, into our plans, into our business making, into our profit making, into what we're called to do in our making a living as such. And this is what James is saying. And just this big question, folks, to hang on to. Are you inviting God into everything? Everything that you're doing. It's a big question, isn't it? And so I want to drill down a little bit into this. God speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us supernaturally. There's endless ways that God will speak to us. But the primary way, quite often, how God speaks to us is through other people. He speaks to us through individual people. And for us to, on this journey of faith, is for God to speak that way, it means that something has to happen to my heart, is that I have to grow in vulnerability. I have to grow in the sense of inviting people to speak into my life. And if I don't have those kind of faith friends around me where somebody knows my soul, where I can be completely open and honest, where I can speak what's really happening, where they know who I am, what it does is it puts up a block. Because if I'm not going to be open, if I don't have a group of people, right, soul friends, faith friends, right, people in the body that I can just, that hold me accountable, that can speak into my life about anything and say anything at any time, is that I'm not going to be vulnerable with God. It just reveals that, you know what, God is not invited into every area of my life. And so part of salvation, the Holy Spirit working in my life, is getting me past all of this stuff about how I see myself, all this stuff, and covering it with the grace of God. Is his forgiveness, his joy in my life, so that when I come to this, I'm not worried to share for someone to examine my soul, because you know what? God has covered. The grace of God is covered. And I realize is that I can't get free from all those things that entangle me from the past unless I'm willing to let others journey with my soul. And so just a little side note and a little advertisement. Gang, there's so many amazing testimonies and beautiful things coming out of our Regen ministry here, our Re-Engage ministry, our married couples that meet on Tuesdays here, and our whole Renew ministry. I encourage you. I beseech you. with all that is in me. And I could go down a whole level, right, of everything going on in our community is that people are little islands. This is growing in the in our country, in our community at a rate, and it is emotional trauma, everything else. People are isolated. They're desperate for some healthy discussion, honest soul talk, below the surface discussion of somebody who knows their soul. You go through life without being vulnerable and just trying to play the game, and there's a time where it's just going to crash. And God can't get in either. These go hand in hand. This is how God moves. As I start to open up, I let other people in. And God starts moving. The Spirit of God starts healing. And He starts building tighter relationships and starts growing and strengthening as we push one another on for what God has for us. And so just take this question with you. It's God. Have you invited Him into every area of your life? And folks, in this journey of getting free and getting whole, you know, sometimes is that we can grow and all of a sudden God reveals something. Could be from somebody else speaking into our lives, or it could just be the Holy Spirit. But, you know, sometimes we go through life and we don't even know we've closed off this whole area of our life. We just shut that down from God or anybody else. And sometimes trauma or tough things, whether it be in the past, we just shut those doors. We don't want anybody there. And you know what it's like? You know what it's like when you're talking to somebody and it's just a wall. You're not going to go very far. Every one of us have people in our lives, could be relatives, could be very close people, and you can only go so far, and boom, the wall goes up, right? Let me tell you, God can't. That wall is a wall to God, too. We can't get life changed. We can't get where we need to get if that wall doesn't come down. And there's only one thing that ultimately brings that wall down. That's the gospel. That's the grace of God. It's where His mercy, it's where He covers all, and He starts that glorious healing right process. So I leave you with that. God has a purpose, right? He's got an amazing purpose for your life. And the only way He can flesh that thing out and get us walking is we got to get free from the things that hold us back. We got to get free from all of our misconceptions and free from our little bitty dreams and start bringing things to God and having He delights when His children come to Him. God, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? This is what I'm thinking. Do you talk to God that way? That's how you should talk. That's how your prayer should be. God, here's what I'm thinking. I'm fired up about this. Speak into it. I'm going to bring it to others. Let them speak into it. God, you speak before I step out of my planes, because I don't want to step out on anything that is not by faith, where I know you're moving and you're blessing. And wait on Him. Right? Wait on Him. Second thing is this question of how in tune are we with the must-dos of life? Okay, the must-dos. Now listen very carefully to me. This is a progression, okay? If in my life, if I've shut others out and therefore shut God out of my life, of my heart, of being vulnerable and growing in that and inviting others to speak into my soul and my life, and I just speak as boldly as I can to you. Gang, if you're sitting here and there are areas of your life no one's entered in, let me tell you what, God has not entered in there. Okay, it is a time bomb ready to go off in your life, right? I just plead with you, get with someone, get with a brother or sister, right, and invite them in. Just jump into Regen or all the different things we try to provide for this community, right, to start this glorious process of life, of abundance. It's a time bomb. You can't handle it. I can't handle it. Get free. When Jesus offers freedom, why not bring that time bomb to Him? Why keep the walls up, man? And that's the way of the world. And our hearts should break for those that are living that way. Hey, I got it together, man. I got it together. Right? Nobody's getting past this wall. Many of us have lived that way, and we all know somebody in our life that's where they're at, right? But to get past that stage, listen carefully, to get to where the voice of God, the leading of God is clear. Folks, this is not difficult stuff. This big question of how do I know God's will for my life? It is really, we've complicated it. It comes down to this first thing. God, I invite you to every area of my life, which means your word I must allow to speak into every area of my life. Is the word of God what I'm lining my life up with? Am I bringing all of my dreams, plans, lifestyle, everything I do to what the word of God says? And am I allowing others to speak into my life, conviction, and bring me to the word of God? Right? And this is why James ends that, says, hey, he who knows the right thing to do, when you know the word of God, when you know what God says, if you're not doing that, do not expect to move forward in faith, in clarity from God's voice. Your purpose is going to be limited. It's going to be cloudy. It's a miserable place to be as a Christian when I'm holding back from bitter from God and questioning God, heart and everything, and not allowing other believers to step in and speak truth into my life. Okay? Man, step out. I step out into the freedom where God will speak more clearly, and that clarity comes when I start doing that good and living that life of doing the right thing. And folks, it's so simple again. Doing the right thing is pretty simple. Now, it's hard, right, to break certain patterns and everything, but what the right thing to do, we all know. We know. And if you have the Holy Spirit in you, the Word of God makes it very clear the big things in life. This is the right thing to do. Right? But there's some things that are more difficult, right? Business situations and everything where I have to go to work. God, you speak into this in my life. You show me. You give me guidance. And this is where I have to have other people, right? They're speaking into that situation. But once I do that, once I'm on that road of God, come into air, I don't want anything, right? Any clauses, anything where you're not speaking into. I don't want to be at odds with any of your word, God. Once that happens, you know what God, and this is what he says, man, there's so many promises. He says over and over again, seek me, you will find me. He over and over again, 2 Corinthians or Chronicles 16:9, his eyes looking to and fro throughout the entire world. He is looking for those who are devoted to him, which means who've taken that step and says, God, come into my life. Come into the plans of my life so that he might come and strengthen them. Notice that is to speak clearly into their lives and now invite them. He's looking for those he can invite now into his larger plan. He wants to bless the plans that birth from us, but he wants to take that and integrate that with what he is doing in this entire world, in this time. And folks, it's kind of like being on the sidelines when the game's going on and wanting to be in the game. And this movement here is what happens is the must-dos. And that's my next question to leave with you is, man, it changes throughout the seasons of our life. But what must you do? Are you living that way? Because if I'm going to accomplish God's purpose for my life, you know what? I have to be clear in this season of life. What must I do? What are the must-dos? And that filters out a heck of a lot of stuff. But let's be real honest. For all of us, myself included, we go through seasons of life where we just get busy. We churn and we burn and we play and we just get lost in 1,000 distractions. And you know what? We wake up sometime and boy, the clock's gone 5, 10, 15 years. And we sit back, we look at our life and go, wow, what have I done? What do I have to show for this? What? Where am I in this world? What's going on? What are the big questions in life? Man, you know, God doesn't want you. He's coming into your heart so to free you from that, to not waste our life, but to live out and carry out the purpose, the unique purpose that he has for you. And he's looking for his children just to turn to him, no matter how far we've wandered or what we've done, to turn to him at any time that he might restore this glorious purpose he has for your life. And to start bringing clarity of speech into the, what must I do, right? And so let me... Just over spring break, I just bounced all around, and I just want to share with you. I want to bounce over to the book of Acts, and I don't have time to read all this. Boy, I wish I did, but I just encourage you, go read Acts, basically 23 through the end of the book of Acts, where it's talking about Paul and him completing his purpose, and there's so many nuggets of encouragement in here. But I just want to show you this idea in Paul and later in his life. And we're just going to drill into the shipwreck part of this. But, you know, Paul knew the Spirit of God had led him that he was to go to Jerusalem. He didn't know why, but the Spirit, everywhere he went, it was prophesied over him, you're going to go to Jerusalem. But all along the way, there's going to be persecution. There's going to be trials. It's going to be hard. And but all the way back in Acts 23:11, listen to this. I'll just read it for you, but just please take some time. But 23:11, and Paul, this is when he finally made it to Jerusalem. Remember, he had a tearful goodbye to the elders in the church in Ephesus, and they warned him, please don't go. But he knew that God compelled him, which, oh man, there's so many things here. Gosh. Oh, that note. Let me I'm going to leave you in a little nugget, okay, is to live the must-dos. There can be other godly people around you, and they will say to you, this is what is going to happen to you. This is what is going on. But you know what? The must-do overrides anything else. This is very important. In other words, we're not to live life, hey, on what somebody else tells you what to do. Ultimately, I have to stand upon knowing this is what God has told me to do. Okay? That is faith, where I move in. I listen to others. I take their, but I've got to know when I step out in faith that God has spoken to me. Okay? Does that make sense? And so Paul he makes his Jerusalem because he knew the Spirit of God, right? That was his calling. And he gets there and he preaches the word, and boy, just, you know, again, just like what had been prophesied happened in the persecution, and he was almost ripped apart. The Romans had to go in and save him out of this. And he's there in prison. Look at the verse 11, chapter 23. I'll just read it for you. It says, "The following night, the Lord," don't miss these words, "the Lord stood by him and said, 'Take courage, for as you have testified to the facts about me in Jerusalem, you must,'" there it is, circle it, "'you must testify also in Rome.'" You must. Boom, there's his marching orders. Clarity. Thank you, God. Even in the midst of my life almost disappearing, I know what my marching orders. I know that you will get me there. I know you're going to take me there. And then he has a chance to preach before the Roman governor Festus, before Agrippa the king, in around Jerusalem, this whole thing. And one thing leads to another, and he appeals to Caesar, and they ship him off along, give him to Julius, which is a centurion, and give him with other prisoners, 276 passengers, put him on a ship, and head him across the Mediterranean to Rome. And so you can dive into this story in chapter 27. And they're on the ship, and the pilot, and then the owner actually of the ship is on the ship. That wasn't normal, but we're told he was. And Julius was the centurion that was over all the prisoners that were on that ship, and then there was many other passengers trying to get to Rome. And just a little history, by the way. People go, wow, 276, and this is what kind of rocked me, was I think of like little 12 people in a little fishing boat, you know, back that long ago. I don't think about big cruise liners. But history shows us that there were ships at this point during Jesus' life, in the book of Acts, that would ship 600 people across the Mediterranean to Rome. And remember, at Rome's height, there was 1,000 ships coming into bay every day, dropping off corn and wheat to feed the hunger, the bread. Remember, that's what they did? They entertained. They had the gladiators. They entertained the people, and they fed the people. And that only lasted for a while. The Pax Romana. So 600 people. This ship was 276 people that Paul was upon. And they'd never tried to travel at wintertime because there were terrible storms that came across. And so they were debating. We got a little window, and Paul gets a word, prophetic word, and he tells the guys, "No, I think I would harbor right here." Now, Paul is, you know, he was famous, you know, but he's not a professional sailor. And so the owner and the pilot, Julius the centurion, goes to them, says, "Ah, Paul," and he goes to them. Well, what do? They take off, boom, they're hit with a storm. In verse 20, it says, "When neither sun nor stars," this is chapter 27, "appear for many days, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope of our being saved was at last abandoned." Okay, so it is desperate. These are professional sailors. It was desperation. In other words, we're done, right? And so this is when Paul gets busy, and verse 21, "Since they had been without food for a long time, Paul stood up among them and said, 'Men, you should have listened to me.'" I love it. Folks, don't miss the lesson. There's so many nuggets here. I just encourage you, go read chapter 27 through 28 and just ask God, "Lord, give me nuggets on how to follow your purpose." I'm telling you, there's so much stuff here, okay? But let me give you one nugget right here, okay? It doesn't matter in the course of finding purpose for your life. You listen to God. We need to listen to God first, not the professionals. It doesn't matter how many degrees you have. It doesn't matter how much of an expert you are, right? Is that when God speaks, we listen to his voice over the experts, over the world, okay? Paul is a nobody, but he's the mouth of God, the mouth of faith on that ship. In the midst of the pilot, the centurion had Paul to listen to, or he had the owner and the pilot to listen to. He listens to the pilot here, okay? And what's interesting, if you read the rest of the story, who'd the centurion listen to the rest of the trip? Right? You never even hear about the pilot any longer, okay? Because you know what? God was the pilot. And there's another principle. When we're operating in God's purpose for our life, you're not going to be taken out until God's ready to take you out. Now, here's the corollary to that. If I'm not walking in God's purpose, I'm susceptible to being taken out. Because there's other wills. There's other human wills. There's other evil wills in the spiritual realm that are trying to impose their will. That's why in the Lord's Prayer we're called to pray, "Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." If I'm outside God's purposes, you know what? I'm outside his glorious protection. When I am walking and inviting him into every area of my life, you know what? And I've moved to that level where I'm, Lord, give me the must-dos. I want to, in this season of life, and when God gives clarity in our lives, you know what? He can't take you out until he's done with your purpose. And this is exactly what the case is here. Paul knew. God's spoken to me. This ship is going nowhere. Even in the midst of, it seemed like all hope was lost. Man, you should have listened to me and not sailed from Crete and incurred this injury and loss. Yet now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship. For this very night there stood before me an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I worship. And he said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must, there it is, stand before Caesar. And behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you. So take heart, men. I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have told you. But we must run aground on some island. Folks, when faith is on the ship, it changes the possibilities. When faith is in the boardroom, when faith is in at school, when faith is anywhere, it changes the possibilities because God is invited in. And there's a person who has the Spirit of God alive and who's operating under the purposes of God and the must-dos of life. And there is hope. Even in the midst of utter despair, there is always eternal hope and possibilities for those that are walking in faith. And the must-dos, God, what must I do? I want to follow your orders. I want to finish up this life. I want to do what you call me to do. Now, let me stop there because some of you I know inside are thinking, well, that's Paul. Of course, he's going to get must-dos. Of course, angels are going to speak to him in his prayer time and tell him his must-dos. But, hey, little old me that's you know, doing this or that in the marketplace, God can't speak. Do you believe that? I just want to stop right now and bind that lie. Let me tell you, the same God that appeared to Paul and gave him must-dos for his life is the same God that redeemed you, filled you with the exact same Holy Spirit that Paul had. And he has a purpose. There is nothing, no place you've been, no place you've gone, that he does not want to do the exact same thing. If you'll invite him in. If you'll invite him in. He will give you that clarity in your life. The must-dos. And so the rest of the story is awesome because now the pilot's listening. Everybody's listening to Paul. And the storm comes and they get washed upon the island of Malta. And, you know, I'm sure Paul's going, what island? This doesn't look like Rome, you know, or Italy. And look at the interruptions all through here, right? Interruption after interruption. And my last question just to leave you is, are you open to interruptions throughout your day in your life to see them as divine opportunities? Are you open to the interruptions? Are you too focused on your task list, on your plans, right, to not just be available? God, are you speaking here? Are you moving here in this place? I'm learning to do this slowly, even in teaching you all on Sundays. It's rocked my world. I prepare to bring something to you, but at the same time, as we pray before this, as I pray before God, if you want to change, do something different here, just do it. If you got a different word and every message is different, I know I'm coming here just and every illustration, he's just, Lord, you change. You interrupt me, God, right? If it's your will. And this is how we should live. And gang, I tell you, this last week for me had some glorious interruptions. Glorious interruptions. Man, where I was able to kind of wake up and see, God, you're doing something here. Let me change from my task list, what I was doing, and let me give attention here. Oh, and God spoke and did some incredible things and great encouragement and other things. And folks, look at Jesus' own life. I mean, he was bound for Jerusalem. He was very clear on the Father's purpose for his life. But man, it should just blow you away to see that Jesus was never too busy. He was never too focused on the end goal to not turn and give anyone his attention and to be interrupted. God coming, what are you going to do in this moment? Right? What are you going to do in this moment? And so I just ask you, are you open to the interruptions in life? And folks, I tell you, those interruptions, that's when God moves. That's when things start getting exciting. We start living with the must-dos. Derek, y'all come on up. And God speaks right to us. Even Paul, he hit the island here. He had one interruption after another. But you know what? God's going to get him. He said, your must-dos, I'm going to get you to Rome. But all along, if you will listen to me, if you will be open, Right? I'm going to have divine moments. Malta, if you just read the story. Remember the fish, he goes and it was cold and they were making a fire in the city and a snake bites him. And that snake bite opened up a ministry and he was able to heal even the leader of the island. And that's because he was available to God all along the way. And so folks, what about us in our day? God, enter my day. Here's my plans. What do you think, God? Lord, who should I meet and bring into these plans, right? And again, specifically, this message of James was to businessmen and women. I ask you, you have dreams, you have plans, but who are you allowing to speak into them? Is God invited into those? Or is it all just profit-making, right? And then God, when we do this, man, that final thing is that God will come. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to step into our lives, and he's going to blow up our plans. And now he invites us into his larger plan, what he's doing in the world. In our little world in purpose, you know what happens as we grow? We start seeing, wow, God, and this is what happened for Paul, and this is what should happen for each one of us. As we see our unique gifts, our unique passion, our unique calling and purpose, how it starts to fit into the big picture. And folks, this is a whole other message, but you know where that begins? Right here. Right, Romans 12 says, each one of us have a gift. And it starts fleshing out, and that gift is connected to a purpose God has for your life, and that starts fleshing out in the body. And we start seeing how, wow, my purpose, my passion, my dreams, you start to see how it integrates and brings a blessing to the larger body. And it goes from here globally to what God is doing. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you'd come and Lord, bring an encouragement for everyone here this morning. Lord, you have a purpose for them to walk in. God, I pray for a clarity in that purpose. Lord, I pray if there's any areas any of us have, God, that we haven't invited you in, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, you would just reveal that. Bring breakthrough this morning. Breakthrough, God. And Lord, maybe there's some folks here who've never really heard, never got clarity in their life of what they must do in this season. A clarity of priority. God, Holy Spirit, I pray you come. Bring that, Lord. Bring that encouragement, Lord. I know in my own life, man, there's such a freedom to hear from you and to know and to get clarity of purpose and priority in my life. Man, it's so freeing. God, so energizing. Lord, I pray for those interruptions. Let's be sensitive to what you're doing, Lord. Always. Come and encourage us. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this message. To hear other messages or learn more about Crossroads Church, visit our website at ccaspen.com.